We're here for part two on our case law update with Beth Miller. And do you go by Doug or Douglas?
Either one.
Either. Well, you can go. Doug or Douglas Mull. Professor Miller, who I'm now told I can call Beth, but I still feel like I want to call Professor Miller. Okay, they've already been introduced because they started earlier. You really don't want to be introduced?
No.
Okay, case law part two. Here we go.
Okay, well, in response to a question that John Ale informed me had come in from an attendee, so I don't know if it's one of you sitting out there or someone who's in cyberspace, I did this slide to respond to the question that was asked, which was about what would a signature block look like for a limited partnership acting through an entity general partner, like an LLC general partner, because we talked about, you know, the importance of disclosing the principal and accurately identifying the principal using the legal name, not just an assumed name, and signifying representative capacity. So we did this slide in the interim, and, you know, I'll just point out, because I thought it would be easier to look at it than to have me describe it. So you would want to have, so the limited partnership is the party to the contract, you know, if that's the goal, and the person who is writing their signature does not want to be personally on the hook, then you would want to put the legal name, the actual name of the limited partnership, including the designator, if it's LP or limited, and then the general partner, which is typically an entity, is the agent representative that is entering into the contract for the limited partnership. But since it's an entity, you will follow that by, that is, you know, acting through an agent, a representative. So I have this individual, John Hancock, who is signing his John Hancock on behalf as manager in a representative capacity for the entity general partner that is acting for the limited partnership. So that there's an extra layer. It gets a little complicated. Clients do fumble this sometimes. More to it. I would say, you know, that a way to, and this is the traditional, you know, way to do this. If you want to simplify that, then sometimes, you know, John Hancock, who is the manager of the entity general partner, might also be an officer of the limited partnership itself. The business organizations code is explicit in allowing partnerships to have officers. You know, we think of that as a corporate concept and maybe sometimes an LLC concept, and limited partnerships don't have to have officers, but they can. And in, you know, in making someone an officer of the limited partnership, then you do simplify this. If they act in that capacity, then you have the, you know, just the name of the limited partnership by John Hancock, comma, whatever his officer title is. So that would be another way to go about that. So we're going to, we inserted the slide where it would logically go. And we're going to get up to the point at which we stopped. And I inserted this slide to mark where we need to start and to remind you that this very recent Texas Supreme Court case that Doug is going to talk about to start us off this afternoon is not actually summarized in the long paper because, again, it just came out and the paper was already prepared, but we do have these slides, and the slides do have the Westlaw site, so you can track it down. And so I'm going to let Doug talk about
this
hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses. First, I would say your final exam on signature blocks, we're going to do a limited partnership with a general partner that is a limited partnership, and you are an officer of the general partner of that limited partnership. That will be how you need to do the signature block. Okay, at any rate, we'll do that next year. We'll come back to you next year for that. So I'm sure you've been dying to know, I left you with a cliffhanger. The cliffhanger was, Are we ever going to get a court that just says, hey, you know that statute 21.223, that anti-piercing the veil statute? That is just for vicarious liability. It's not for direct liability. Then we would have a nice answer. We wouldn't have to worry about these cases anymore.